Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
As lawmakers set their sights on ending the legislative session and resuming their political fundraising, Democracy North Carolina is supporting legislation to require lawmakers to file their campaign reports electronically. The House recently passed legislation that included the requirement that makes it easier for the media and the public to find out who's financing their lawmakers' campaigns, but the Senate has yet to consider it. A recent report from Democracy North Carolina found that 92 of the state's 170 legislators filed campaign finance reports this year on paper, shielding themselves from scrutiny. Bob Hall with the group joins us now to talk about it. Well, Bob, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Let's talk about the House decision, the House vote to require electronic filing of campaign reports. First of all, what's your reaction?
I'm glad they're doing it. You know, they did it in 2013 by 115-1, requiring campaigns that receive over $10,000 or political committees that receive over $10,000 to submit their reports in an electronic file to the Board of Elections. And that was great. And then they sent it over to the Senate, and the bill just stalled there. It's been sitting in the Rules Committee all the rest of 2013 and now these months. So the House put the same provision in as an amendment into another bill that they have sent over to the Senate. So now the Senate has two ways to get the job done, and I hope they do it.
Well, I know you've heard these arguments for a long time because you and a lot of folks have been trying to get this done for a long time. During the debate, it seemed like one of the major issues the opponents of this have had is that it's too much trouble or it's a burden to the people who are running for office.
It's private money in the public election system. The public has a right to know who is bankrolling these campaigns and how the money is spent. What happens, though, when they file by paper, and sometimes it's in handwriting, not just typed or on a computer, and then submitted, you know, printed out and sent in, the paper just piles up at the Board of Elections. They just have, I mean, I've been there. It's just stacks and stacks of paper. They admit now that they have for some committees, the backlog goes back 7 years. There's over 30 legislators that we have tracked how their reports are being processed. There are more than 30 of them. The reports go back to 2010 that have not been processed. In other words, they're not entered into a computer so that the board can even look at them to see if they match up, if they add up, if the $4,000 that Duke Energy says they gave to that candidate is reported by the candidate. That's what they do as a part of a compliance, the Board of Elections, but they can't do it if they don't have it in a computer file. And we, of course, the public can't tell how much money is coming from teachers or from bankers or beer wholesalers or whatever. So it's a meaningless exercise to say, oh, just file a bunch of paper, because people cannot access it.
You know, when this was first proposed years and years ago, there were, you know, campaigns that had, and I know there's a $10,000 limit, but or kick-in level, but there were people talking about, oh, I don't raise much money, or my cousin is my treasurer, or whatever. But we actually have people filing, like Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger, who are raising hundreds of thousands of dollars and obviously have a computer and aren't doing it electronically.
Exactly, and that's a perfect example. And, you know, and it's weird because Senator Berger was a leader for disclosure and ethics and everything when he was in the minority. He was a minority leader, and I think he really believes that stuff, but I don't know why. He really persists in sending these reports in, hundreds of pages, and they are done on a computer, and you can see it there. The donors are sorted in alphabetical order by first name, so you can't even match up the husband-wife pairs that are putting in, you know, $10,000 between the two of them. It's very difficult to manage, and we've found places where there's excessive amounts that go over the contribution limits in his reports, but there may be somewhere else where the money is sent back. It's just a really difficult to process or analyze these reports when it's all just stacks of paper.
How cynical would it be to suggest that maybe the reason Senator Berger and others don't file electronically is that there's then a long delay before folks in the public and advocates and public interest people can actually do research into who's paying for their campaigns?
That is a cynical conclusion that many do draw from both parties, and, you know, independents are discouraged by this as well. It's just kind of part of what you would hope doesn't happen, but it is happening for whatever reason. and it's not a hard thing to fix. And as you say, there's a $10,000 threshold, so if a campaign is small, this is not going to be required of them. It's only when they're getting up to the point where they really need to be tracking the donations anyway to see when the requirements that they give the full information of addresses and occupational interest of donors and itemize their expenditures. Those things are happen, you know, when they get more than $3,000. So they've got or even 1,000 of some committees. Anyway, it's something they need to be doing on a computer anyway, and why not just submit it electronically so it can be sucked up into a big file and the Board of Elections can review it and post it on the website.
At the same time, they haven't required electronic filing. They haven't provided the staff at the Board of Elections, as you say, to clear up backlog. So we really have a lot of missing information about recent campaigns, and I guess that'll continue unless either they have electronic filing and or they fund the Board of Elections.
Well, they are funding the Board of Elections with new staff to probe for voter fraud, which is interesting that they think that the cheating is going on one by one, voters stealing the elections or whatever. I mean, but a big problem is also the way our elections, our whole process is being stolen from under us by big money. And we're losing control of it that way. And so they need to be staffing up and helping sort out the corruption that happens that way. And, you know, this is not a Democrat-Republican issue either. The John Locke Foundation, arch conservative group, also supports electronic filing. They've been pushing with us at Democracy North Carolina for years to have this done. They think it should be done even, you know, instantly. Why not have all these big donations filed in? And we agree.
Well, that's my next question. The amendment the House approved would have them start in 2017. Why not 2016?
Well, because the Board of Elections wants to start in an odd year and work out the kinks, which they reckon will happen, and not start in a big presidential year or a big campaign year. They actually said they wanted to begin in 15, but there are some problems with the Board of Elections software that they currently have, and they have a vendor who's supposed to be modifying these systems, and there's been a backlog on that. So in some ways, it's probably prudent to push this back a little while. I wish it could start on at least by 16, but we'll take what we can get to get this thing started. And the good news is that many of the legislators, there are many good legislators that are filing voluntarily. They're using electronic software. So out of the 170, there's more than 70 of them who do it electronically.
Well, let's hope that the Senate goes along and we can finally get this done. Thanks for all you're doing as always, and thanks for being with us.
All right, Chris. Bye-bye.
Up next, the struggles faced by people of color living in segregated neighborhoods. Stay with us.